Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a bit of a unique situation here today because we've got a gentleman that's extremely talented on more than one level. He's a world traveler. He also likes to get his mental hands into more than one modality. And we're first going to be talking about his fabulous book that I have in my hands right now, called Making Friends Around the World. It's the first decalingual book ever printed. It's emphasizing 10 languages, 20 phrases, and more. This is oriented towards children. And then we're also going to be talking about becoming the perfect networker. And that's not a dirty word. You're going to find, even though you probably get so weary of hearing the term networking, I think his perspectives are really going to give you some insights in how you can apply it in your life in a different way. I'd like to welcome to the show Ken Roshan. Thanks for being with us, and I understand you're getting bombarded with weather back on the East Coast, just like we're getting it here on the West Coast.
Yes, Mother Nature's hitting us hard.
Yes, well, when she decides to have a PMS attack, she really goes all the way.
That's right. Well, thanks for having me, Donna.
Oh, it's a delight, Ken. You know, when I met you last fall in New York at the National Publicity Summit, and you showed me the book, Making Friends Around the World, I was absolutely impressed. I'm a strong believer in teaching children languages when they're young, and the more you can involve them in various languages, the easier it is for them to adapt to it. Now, you're a world traveler. What is it that made you decide that you wanted to do this with kids? And the illustrations are incredibly gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Donna. I have to thank my dad. He was an Army officer and was had missions around the world. And fortunately, I spent most of my life outside the United States to get a real taste of the world. And in doing so, I found the world is a very friendly place. The only problem is that us poor Americans only study one language, and it's English, and we sometimes get around to dabbling a little bit of Spanish, but we're not really world thinkers, and as a result of that, we have kind of a handicap of communicating. So I realized when I was 6 years old, my uncle Bob had given me a drawing book on how to draw horses. It consumed me for probably 2 or 3 years, and I grew to love animation and drawing and eventually got into medical illustration. Well, in hindsight, I wish someone had given me a book on how to make friends around the world because I would probably be a polyglot with knowing 5 to 10 to 15 languages fluently, which at best I know probably 2 or 3.
When you were putting this together, and again, the illustrations in here, Tara Hannon did an incredibly fine job with having the illustrations, like there's Chinese, there's Israeli, you have here French, you have Japanese, you have Spanish, you have, I believe it's German as well, but you've got so much in here, the Italian, and the illustrations are so open, no matter where the child would come from, there is this wonderful warmth of communication via the illustration that I think is just outstanding. Well, let me see. Here we've got a map in the book. You've got the, you know, English, obviously, German, French, Spanish, Italian, Arabic, Indian, Chinese, Japan, Russia. I said Israeli. I was wrong. That wasn't one of the languages.
That's the next
in here.
Book. That's the next
That's
book.
The next book.
Yes, Hebrew.
I'm a little bit ahead there. Okay, but I really liked the simple phrases. Now, what have you done with this? So many people are so frightened of their children, and I really mean that. My own mother was frightened. I was, and of course, it goes back a ways, but she was very frightened of my learning Italian because that meant she would be ostracized. She didn't understand it. Why is it that people so frequently are adverse to having people know multiple languages? Why is this? They want to make it an either or.
Well, I think it's our upbringing in the United States. I don't find it to be true in any other part of the world. The English language is actually accepted in 120 countries, and so that would mean that other countries accept that English is a national language. It's a language worth knowing. I did want to say that Tara Hannon was a huge part of why I opened this project up. We've never talked to this, Donna, but I've been studying languages for the last 8 years, and I've taken 13 languages, and I put this idea that I came up with 7 years ago in a folder simply called Making Friends Around the World. The project was, I didn't know if it would ever happen, but I put it in there, and I met Tara at a coffee shop, and I told her I'd meet her, and I saw her illustrations. I said, would you mind if I share a project with you that's very near and dear to my heart? And I opened a folder up that had not been opened for 7 years. I said, I really want to do this book, and I think you're the artist to do it.
Wow. Well, she definitely is the artist that accomplished so much. Now, what you cover in this book, and for those of you that have youngsters in the family, this is the kind of publication that you can sit down with them and you can have a lot of fun as a parent or as a grandparent or as a relative. If you're a volunteer in a school working with kids, the illustrations in this, and what's so beautiful about this, what the artist Tara did, she used the national dress, the traditional dress, like with the Japanese, when they were asking, what is your name? It's Name wa nan desu ka, when you are able to say that. But it's also written in Japanese. Now, children have this wonderful way of recognizing things. They're just like little sponges. But as adults, you have the joy of being able to share it too, and it's fun. And that is what I think makes the book so terrific. And you've got very simple phrases, my name is, there's, you know, have a nice day, nice to meet you. These are all basic phrases. Please, there's just so many things that can be shared when you are traveling. And what a fun thing to do with kids. I don't know about where you are, but I'm sure back on the East Coast, especially around D.C. and those areas, you have international festivals. We have them here in the Seattle area. And what fun to be able to teach a child these different phrases that they could just try out whenever you're around people of different backgrounds. What a great thing to do. This would be a good project for a teacher, too, to be able to work with.
Sure, and kids that actually learn these languages will literally connect with kids from other cultures. They'll get confidence. They'll get globally adept. And I think most importantly is they're going to be able to actually get in the job market and be sought after because they're not the normal American that can just think one perspective. They actually start thinking globally.
And I think understanding other cultures is extremely important, and that language communication, wow, does that ever make a difference? There are so many instances where Americans, whether they've been in the military or if they're in a business relationship, having to work with an interpreter really can be challenging at times because there is such a difference in the way things are interpreted within a language of another culture. So this is a wonderful way to introduce young people into this diversity, which I think is phenomenal. And as you said, it empowers them on a business level, which is just fabulous. Now, people are going to be able to find out about this. You have got your websites, kenmershon.com, and we'll be giving out the other one in a little bit. But in the back of your book here, you have got what you know, all kinds of different organizations, and you have a banner called A Piece of World of World Peace, Have Some. And I love this banner that is illustrated in the back because it shows the globe is a piece of chocolate cake. Now, that's a winning proposition with three big cherries on top of it. And then you've got a piece of world peace, piece it together, and that's like a piece of a puzzle. And then a piece of world peace, piece of bread with the globe on it, spread some. And
right.
it's just, this is wonderful illustrations. What good, wonderful thoughts to be able to put into a youngster's mind. Now, you've gotten this first book out. Are you going to schools with it? What are you doing?
I am making contacts with schools. I did want to digress for a second and say that there's so much about self-esteem when you sell it empowers them. It gives people, kids and adults, actually a lot more self-esteem about feeling comfortable with other people. And making that connection with other people is really about acceptance. When we don't understand another culture, we don't understand another dialect or a language, we feel like we can't connect with them. And so we feel alienated. We don't feel like we can accept them. And it kind of forces us to be in a box. And this type of book is not the type of book that's a quick read. It's a book that actually you could live and grow with. And if you learned actually all 10 of those languages, which is decalingual, you would probably find that you could communicate with 40% of the world. You had mentioned before about the children's names. I thought a lot, long and hard, about which names I would give each child, because in almost any other country but the United States, they think very long and hard about what kind of name they're going to give their child, because that child's name has meaning, whether it means a leader, bright, beautiful. And when you have a name that gives this type of meaning, the kid knows that, the child knows that, they're actually going to live into that.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very true. That is something, as you said, in many cultures. Actually, even here in the United States, there are many, many people that are very thoughtful about the name that they give their child. Some of them are not, but many are, because we have such a diverse cultural base. Here,
sure.
In the United States, we have people from all over the world, and I don't know about you, but I'm a Heinz 57, so we've got all kinds of stuff in our background genetically, and there are so many people in the U.S. in the generations of today that can say the same thing.
Sure.
So I think that it's really a plus when we can be aware of that, and this also can give a lot of positive support to a youngster's cultural background. Even if it is diversified, they would be able to identify with it in a very, very special way. So I think this is absolutely marvelous. So for those of you listening, Making Friends Around the World, this is absolutely fabulous, and he's got some other books that are going to be coming out dealing with other languages in the world. And again, Tara Hannon just does a fabulous job with illustration. Now let's go to your next book, because this is more for adults, and actually I think there is an application here that can be passed along even to the younger generation. I'm thinking of some young ladies that I saw just the other day selling Girl Scout cookies, and how when you have a child involved in that, what I would call sort of small business enterprise, which really is quite a large business enterprise, but when they're in their own little youthful world, it just has such a significant impact on them, because they're having to interact with people. And that's what networking is all about. Now, Ken, you really have a passion for this. Why did you decide you needed to write about it? There's a lot of books on networking out there. Why did you decide to take this on?
I think the biggest reason is because people use networking as a definement of getting a job and who you know. And I was looking at more from a Zig Ziglar approach of the joy of actually connecting people and helping them succeed actually strengthens your network. It's not a one-way street. It actually becomes a three-way street. So when you put Joe and Jane together, and you're getting nothing out of it, Joe and Jane not only benefit, but they think so highly of you because you did it without any agenda and without any strings attached. And I constantly was asked how I was getting these opportunities. Last year I won an award for most influential connector in America, and I was really quite surprised, but there had been 30 people nominated for it. And when I went to Texas and found out that I had actually won the award, I really looked back and said, you know what, living this literally every single day gave me that reputation of being someone that people can count on just to contribute. And I think a network is someone you contribute to. It's not someone that you use, or a network that you use.
You bring forth a very good point. I know a businessman that I was having a conversation with this morning, and he is trying to raise funds for a project, which is a multi-million dollar project. And a person decided they wanted to assist them. So they were going to be a connector. And then the next thing he knows, they're trying to bargain, manipulate, and negotiate. And it really set him back. It was so disturbing to him. And he said, this person all of a sudden is coming on, and they're putting out demands, and this individual doesn't want to do business with them because it violated the ethics of what they felt in integrity was initially presented to them. And I thought, this is very appropriate, what we're discussing today. It's just very timely that this conversation went on this morning. And I thought, people forget that. If you're going to be a connector, if you're going to assist people, you do it because you want to help them. If you're going to interact into a business deal eventually, that's wonderful. But first, do what you give your word on, and then don't go back and try to be the manipulator. It's going to really put a bad taste in the mental mouth, so to speak, of the individual that's dealing with you. And then you wonder why later on you go, gee, I wonder why they didn't want anything to do with me. I just don't understand it.
Right. And unconditional giving is obviously the best type of gift to give anyone, because they learn that they can trust you. And I when people start a conversation with me with, hey, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, I correct them. I say, tell you what, I will do this for you regardless of whether you do this for me or not. And then that way they see the game I'm going to play is actually not about what you can do for me, and I'll do it for you.
This book, you said, took you 26 years to write. And when you look at your background and what you have gone through, you talk about the power of zero. What was that?
Well, it's the power that we're referring to in the 26 years, first of all, is that a lot of us speak of things we want to do, but we convince ourselves that we can't do it because of some type of resource, a reason, something that we actually believe is holding us back. And there was really a day when I read The Go-Giver by Bob Berg that I said, I'm just not going to live that way anymore. I'm going to contribute, and I'm going to believe that I can make a difference every single day of my life. And all of a sudden, those 26 years of not writing a word but saying I wanted to write a book just dissipated. And I just started writing. I didn't care if a book was finished, just that I was in process. And the power of zero also is something I experience from people that dream, but they don't actually act on those dreams. And I just am hoping I can wake up even one person when they read a book and say, you know what, I am not going to let the power of zero hold me back. It's a defeatist attitude. It's a convincing way of saying I'm not enough to do what I said I want to do.
You have a great quote in your book, one of many. I really like this one. I want to share it with my audience. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius, because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. And that was by Steve Jobs. I really think that's so important. By the way, I love your cartoons. I love them. Tara did those too, and I like them.
Yeah, if Tara hadn't done this book so well, I actually wouldn't have done it in full color, which, as you know, it's almost a suicide budget when you print a full-color book.
Oh, yes, I agree.
But her illustrations are so beautiful, I couldn't do justice to them in a black-and-white format. So I actually paid her after she did six of the illustrations in color, and I think she did somewhere between 6 and 12 in black-and-white, and I saw the difference, and I said, Tara, I'm actually going to forget about budget on this one. I actually want to make this book full-color. And after she finished the book on time, with the integrity of everything I had asked for and put her heart into it, I said, I have a folder I'd like to open up, and that is back to that story I told you earlier.
What's the perfect networker?
It's a person that actually is a go-giver, a person who gives first, who looks to change the world by making a difference any way they can.
I love the cartoon she's got in here, President of the Procrastination Club. And your quote here is, think of procrastination as something you will do later after you finish everything you promised yourself and others that you would do. I love this, because in her illustration, there's a very nice wing-back chair, and there are thousands of memos stacked sky high in pockets, in lamps, in the brim of a hat, on the desk, on the floor. Gee whiz.
And a stack
of never
do.
Like some people's desks that I know of. I mean, the stuff that never gets done. So
right.
She did a fabulous job with that.
Well, writing a business book, as you know, Donna, can be a little bit of a dry topic. So I knew that I was going to interject some wit and humor because I just don't even know how to talk without trying to make someone laugh, or at least myself. And so I needed an artist that could convey some of these thoughts into getting the book read quicker and seeing the concept just driven home very quickly with an animation so they would actually laugh and move to the next point. But, you know, entertainment allows us to sink in principles. And so I really wanted that to be one of the hooks in every single one of the chapters.
You talk about being a connector. I think that is so important. That's one of the things I enjoy about doing my radio show, that there is so much that people share with me in the programming that I do. It's so eclectic that I'm able to pass it along to other people if they're interested enough to ask for it, and or if I feel that I can just share it with them, which I do on the air, just like we're sharing your stuff on the air today. This is so important. Talk about your perspective of what a connector is.
Well, a connector is someone that is influential. They can typically make or break a business. They can make or break an economy. In the book, I take a little story from Malcolm Gladwell's book about Paul Revere being a connector, and had it not been for him knowing who the influential people were, the other connectors in the New England area, we may not have a United States right now, because his colleague that went the other direction didn't know anybody and just went door to door randomly, was not able to convince really anyone that the English were coming. So I included that power statement because we as Americans have Paul Revere as a connector to thank, and that's really the power of connecting.
You bring in the international factor today, and of course anyone in the business world at one time or another is going to be dealing with an international environment, whether it is through being a supplier to someone in another country, or maybe you're going to be buying from someone in another country. Or, you know, there's just so many different levels to it. You say that United Nations has 192 members, and it doesn't include the Vatican, and it doesn't yet include Kosovo. And you bring out all of these different points of information regarding these different countries. Why is it so important for us to be more awake regarding this?
Well, when I started studying languages, I mean, I started when I was a kid, but when I actually went back to school 8 years ago and started learning languages, I started seeing that the people that speak two languages have multiple markets, three languages, more markets. And I realized that if I could just connect with someone from another culture that doesn't speak English so well, or even speaks my language but I'm respecting their language, that I have such an advantage over another person to do business with them. I have an entertainment company, and it is a global company. We do world events, and our specialty is to do weddings for two couples that are from two different cultures, and we mix the music. And the way we get these jobs almost inevitably every time is by knowing how to say hello in the other person's language, and they just relax their shoulders, and they know they're home. They know that they have someone that cares about their language. There are 300 entertainment companies in this area, and almost none of them have taken the time to learn how to connect in a cultural level. It isn't to say that they don't connect at some level, but this is, I'm talking about really understanding some of the nuances as well as being able to just say a couple greetings.
You talk about the social network. Now, this is something that has exploded. I've got a learning curve relative to this that I'm beginning to get into, but you have really worked at this. And why is a social network important, especially with business? We're not talking about doing something that sends baby pictures and, gee whiz, I threw up on 3rd Avenue and 5th in New York City. No, we don't want to do that. What is it? How is it useful? What are the ways to do this? And I know you're involved very much in this. Give us some information on that.
Well, typically when you meet someone at a networking event or even in a grocery line, the conversation you're having in that moment will typically dissipate because there's no habit that they're part of your life. And the social network, the virtual way of continuing the communication, keeps the conversation alive so that the next time you see that person is as though you've been in communication with them for the entire time, creating the habit that you are going to be in a relationship with them. Donna, when you met me in New York, I was able to find you later when we talked on the phone or on Facebook, and then I invited you to Perfect Networker. And although we haven't done really a lot with the social networking, after this program's done, it's not just that you're amplifying my message and giving me a boost as a connector, but I am able to do that on the reverse side by putting this out on Facebook and putting this out on Perfect Networker to upwards of 18,000 people that your program exists. And we are two people with so big of an amplifier, and when we meet other people that have big amplifiers, it actually gets us into more markets and more zones and more people we can help.
I agree, and I think that that is so significant. When you're wanting to do this, let's say we have someone that's listening to it and say, oh, I'm just so overwhelmed by this. How do I begin? How do I start? How do I protect my privacy? What do I do as a business person? Lay out some of the rules that we need to be aware of when we're involved in a social networking. What are some of the positives? And how can we avoid some of the negatives that we have talked about?
Well, that's a pretty big question, but I would like to regress for 1 second and say there's a reverse side to social networking. It's the side where you've never met the person and you became friends with them online, have never met them, and then when you finally meet them, you have such a connection, it is uncanny. It's like when you were in elementary school and you were able to pick a pen pal and you fell in love with this person as a friend just by the letters you received back and forth and learning the person. I can't tell you how often I go to an event and people come up to me and say, I'm connected with you on Facebook, or I'm connected with you on LinkedIn, or Perfect Networker, and I'm so excited because in that moment I'm realizing that that conversation existed from a virtual one and became reality. So going into your question you just asked, I really recommend that you do not share personal information that you're not comfortable sharing. If you're joining Facebook, anyone can see your profile. Facebook obviously says that when you sign up for their service that you are giving up your privacy. So it really is best to keep it more of a business format. If you're going to have it as a personal format, you really should not mix the two. You should have it at private settings at the very highest, and you should keep it just for family. I do know professionals that are on Facebook that will not accept friends that are professional friends because they're using Facebook for that method only. With regard to how to start when you don't know what you're really getting yourself into, I would actually get to know someone that actually uses social networking and it's benefited them, and just spend some time saying, what should I do, and can you help me in a mentor process of figuring out social networking? It took me a long time when I first joined LinkedIn. It took me 3 weeks to really understand what the power of this was, but I was hooked after that. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is to do searches for people that you know and connect with them and see how they're playing the game of social networking, and just dive in little by little, and then all of a sudden, probably within a month's time, you'll be very comfortable with it.
Well, there you have it. Ken obviously is a man of many talents, but he's also a man that doesn't hesitate to share what he knows. So whether you are involved with kids or you're wanting to understand different languages, you want to interact with kids, maybe you do it as a part-time volunteer basis, his book, Making Friends Around the World, is absolutely awesome. Also, his book, Becoming the Perfect Networker, really brings things into a perspective, and it takes it out of the negativity that so often is associated with the term networking. So many times people are afraid of that word. Well, the social network that we have via technology, today's world, by golly, it makes a difference. You can make your life richer and fuller on levels that you would never have imagined. So I recommend both of these books quite highly. He has two websites, kenrochon.com, and that's kenrochon.com. Also, perfectnetworker.com. Ken, we've got about 30 seconds. Is there a thought you'd like to leave with my listeners today?
Yes, I would like to thank you first for having me on the show because you obviously make a difference. You're living a power of one, and I encourage all your listeners to actually step up their game, and if they have a book they'd like to publish, to really think about how that could change their life, I'd be happy to help them.
That's wonderful. Well, there you have it. Check out his website. Check out his material. I think you'll find that you'll go, wow, this is something I want to add to my library. KenRoshan.com and PerfectNetworker.com. Ken, thank you again for being my guest today. It's been a delight. The Becoming the Perfect Networker and Making Friends Around the World. A good read for anyone. We're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you just sit back and relax and let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of concern to you. Now, here is the toll-free worldwide number to call, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And don't forget, those of you who are in the Pacific Northwest, we have a wonderful event that's coming up that I am participating in. That is the Emerald Spiral Expo on March the 26th. That's an all-day event being held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. Admission is free. I'll have a booth there, and yes, I'm purging my library again. I've got to make room for these books that I get from so many fabulous people, so you'll have access to that, and then I'll also be doing mini sessions. So check out emeraldspiral.com. Find out all the details about this fabulous event that's coming up, and I look forward to seeing you there. Do stop by and say hello. Also, for those of you who are listening in New York City, I am going to be making my trip to New York City, April 14th through the 17th. I will be in the Big Apple, so I'll be available for private appointments. I'm going to be doing an appearance at the National Publicity Summit, interviewing 100 authors while I'm there, and being on a panel of the organization. So I'm really pleased to go back to New York City. Fortunately, all of your snow will be gone then, and I'm looking forward to that. And then in the month of May, I'm going to be traveling to Alaska. The date is probably the week of the 9th of May, after spring break is all over. So anyway, that's what's coming up on the Donna Sebo travel itinerary, and there are some other exciting things that are happening, but I'll have to wait until they all fall into place so that I can advise you of same. Meanwhile, give me a buzz if you would like to chat at 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a quote with you by Edward Everett. He said, "Truth travels down from the heights of philosophy to the humblest walks of life, and up from the simplest perceptions of an awakened intellect to the discoveries which almost change the face of the world. At every stage of its progress, it is genial, luminous, creative." Truth. So often, people will find themselves in cycles of life, and it happens to all of us, where we wonder, is truth ever there? We feel like we've been lied to, that we have been given misrepresentation on one level or another. And what we need to understand is that it has to start within us. One of the biggest challenges we have in life, I feel, is to develop the understanding and truthfulness that we ourselves have. We need to be first and foremost honest and truthful with ourselves. And that's a tough one, because so many times we'll get into mindsets, depending on whatever our background or experience has been. And to be honest with the self takes a lot of courage. It's not easy. It's easier to say, well, it's the government's fault, it's the dog's fault, it's the wife's husband's fault, it's my mother's fault, it's this fault, it's the weather's fault, it's all kinds of other situations, people, conditions, whatever. It's that is at fault. We need to be able to reach that point of personal acceptance and responsibility for who we are and how we live our lives. And not to try to manipulate, but to be honest. This is something that is a real challenge. I can remember one of my biggest lessons, and this was many years ago. I was a teenager. I had, like so many teenagers, gone my own route. I wanted to be independent, and I reached a point one day when I recognized, not that I hadn't been aware of it, but I finally took responsibility for the fact that I often did not want to speak the truth. I would make things up. Have you ever done anything like that when you were a kid? Well, I think I was about 14 or 15. And what happened with me is one day, a situation that challenged me, I thought, if I cannot speak the truth, then I will not say anything. I won't lie. I must be able to speak the truth. Now, nobody told me that, but it was something that I made a choice about. So remember, truth exists. It is there. She is quite beautiful. But she can also be scary to a lot of people because it means there's no games. Truth is truth. This is Donna Sebo. Let's take our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling in from?
Patty, and I'm calling in from Tucson.
Hi, Patty. Welcome to the show. And I hope it's nice and warm and toasty in Tucson.
It is.
Oh, well, I'm envious. We've got 50-mile-an-hour winds here in the Pacific Northwest. The gentleman I was talking with on the show earlier, it's flooding back where he is, and they've got snow, and they've got all kinds of storm warnings out. So both on both coasts, we've got all of this wild and woolly weather. So let's hope the sun keeps shining there in Tucson, Arizona. That's what you're known for this time of the year. Well, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I'm looking at is, be patient. You must be patient, but you must be thorough. You cannot afford to drop the ball. You need to be persistent. You need to follow through and keep your eye on your objective, and you also have to adapt. And this is something that is not always easy to do, because it's as if I'm watching you playing a video game. And in this video game, you're driving a vehicle. You're like in a race car, an Indy 500 kind of a game. And you're constantly having to move around objectives. And so I'm watching you as you're doing this video game, and you're going, oh, shoot, I hit the wall again. Well, you're back on the road, and, of course, this is just a game. But you're in the real-life situation, so you have to focus, you have to be disciplined, and you have to be able to adapt quickly. As this is evolving, by the end of March, things are pretty much going to settle down. But between now and the end of March, you got your hands full. So attention to detail, following through, being persistent, all of that is going to pay off big time. So don't drop the ball, whatever you do, whatever it is that you're involved with, don't drop it. Move with it and continue to do what you know you need to do for yourself. What question would you like to ask me today?
Well, I started one job yesterday, and I can pretty much set my own hours, and it's a lovely job in the way that I can buy beans for the table, set beans on the table now, and I'm working on trying to get a few other jobs, and I'm just wondering if this advice that you're giving, the intuitive advice, is for something that's going to happen as far as a new job or this job that I'm on.
Well, I think your focus right now, because you've just started a new job, congratulations. If you're wanting to take on another one, then there's going to be another one there for you. I think what this is referring to is to standing back a little bit and looking at the big picture. What is it that you ultimately want to see yourself in? Do you want to see yourself in a one-job positioning rather than having three or four, which would be optimum, obviously? So what is it that you want? You need to really keep your focus. You don't want to be so diversified that you cannot give the attention to the one job you've got in the way that you want.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Take care of the job you have. Do that well, and then look at how you can fold in something else. But don't get so diversified that you're just burning, you know, the bridge at both ends, and you're going to find yourself in the middle going, oops.
Okay. So the one I have is really calling for attention to detail and stuff like that. Sounds like.
Absolutely. So take care of the job that you've got. Be good with that. If you want to get a second job, if that is something that is important to you, great. But you may find that there is something very positive that's going to come out of being in the work environment that you're in that would give you an opportunity to do something perhaps full time.
Wow.
So keep your eyes open.
I will, and thank you so much. And I listened to your previous guest and loved hearing what he had to offer on the ideas of networking. So without agenda.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? I think that I think of the gentleman I had a conversation with this morning and his disappointment in the individual that was interacting with him. And I think so many times we get very disappointed because instead of having that openness of just let me help you, that's what I want to do. I just want to be able to give you information. You don't owe me anything. I sort of like the adage of passing it on. You know, if you do something for someone and they say, gee, I can't pay you back, you say, that's all right. Just remember when somebody else crosses your path, just pass it on. You don't have to pay me back. You just pass it on. I really think that creates a momentum that is phenomenal.
Well, based on my personal experience, it's certainly a work in progress for me because I know in networking it's been my something that I'm trying to understand more about when I set up opportunities for people and they're strengthening who they represent and they don't mention the entity that I represent, you know, and so what in listening to him, I thought there's a reason I'm listening to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what happens is that it goes against the indoctrination that so often we absorb. And I think you've brought out a very, very good point. And not that anything you've done has been wrong, But lots of times, people, if they do not have that sense of integrity, will not acknowledge whoever their resource was. I mean, that's something that I do and my husband do. That brings us a lot of satisfaction to say, gee, contact, you know, Mrs. Bluck Bluck over here, because she's the one that gave us the information. This is what you need to know about. So this is terrific. It's just the way it goes. And the adage, what goes around comes around, it really is true. So I would recommend that you get his book, Becoming the Perfect Networker, but go to his website first. Go to perfectnetworker.com and just peruse through it.
I'm writing that down.
The perfect, not the, just perfectnetworker.com. And again, his name is Ken Rochon, R-O-C-H-O-N.
Well, thank you again for bringing such wonderful, the caliber guests that you do bring on your show.
Patty, you're more than welcome. It's just a joy to me. I really love doing it, and I so appreciate you're saying how much you enjoy, because that makes a difference. So pass along the information to friends.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. Oh, I have a recipe for you for some Irish oat soda bread. Now, this is really a simple one. Cranberries in it? Oops, you got to listen to it. So have a pad of paper and pen handy. Also, if I have time, I'm going to give you an exercise for conscious dreaming meditation. So don't go away. We've got some other good things coming back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, have that pad of paper and pen handy? Oh, before I do that, I'm going to give you the recipe for Irish oat soda bread. Now, this is something that is so easy, but oh, is it good. If you're a bread person and you don't particularly think you're skilled at it, this is something that's an easy, easy, easy recipe. It's delicious, makes wonderful toast, even when it's a day old or so, if it lasts that long. But let me tell you who we've got tomorrow. Naheed Sewell is going to be with me. Naheed is from the Middle East, and she has written a book called The Ruby Tear Catcher. The Ruby Tear Catcher. This is about the Muslim world. It is a novel that is based on fact, and it is something that is extremely powerful in its content, and I know that you will enjoy Naheed. So I look forward to having her as a guest tomorrow. And then following next week, we've got a great lineup. Your dog is your mirror. Kevin Behan is my guest. We're going to be talking about, also on Tuesday, The Rodem Traveler, poetry with Melody Ivory, and then The Inventor's Fortune. What would you do if an inheritance was yours that others were fighting with you about? An invention that made millions and millions of dollars, and you could inherit that in estate because there were no legal heirs, but you were in the family tree. We're going to be hearing about that next week. And then St. Patty's Day is coming up on the 17th, so we're going to be talking about the Glamis Cure. Wade Nichols is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about fairies and witches and all kinds of fun things. And then Dr. Lundell is going to be with us next week. We're going to be talking about the cure for heart disease. Dr. Lundell is a cardiologist, and we are going to be talking with a physician that has done thousands of heart surgeries, and he's saying we can cure heart disease. So this isn't making stuff up. Anyway, that's our lineup. Okay, let's talk about Irish oat soda bread. Now, this is how simple it is. Very few ingredients. You need 1 cup of old-fashioned rolled oats, not the instant now. You need old-fashioned rolled oats, steel-cut oats, 3.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 3.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2/3 of a cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of caraway seeds, 1 tablespoon of caraway seeds, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of baking soda. 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Then you're going to need 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of golden raisins. You can use dark raisins if you want, or you use pomegranate-flavored sweetened dried cranberries, or just plain old cranberries, or cran raisins, whatever is your favorite. And you're going to, again, need just a cup of that. And then 3 eggs, room temperature, and 1 1/3 cups of buttermilk. 1 1/3 cups of buttermilk. Now, this is how easy it is. And I mean, it really is easy. You preheat your oven to 325 degrees. You want to have a baking sheet and spray it with cooking spray. You want to have 1 tablespoon of your oats set aside. Now, in a big bowl, you want to put your flour, your sugar, your caraway seeds, your baking powder, baking soda, salt, and the oats. You want to mix it all in together. Put in your raisins or your cranberries, whatever you want. You can even mix them if you like, you know, mix different combinations of your favorite things. And then you want to take 2 of the 3 eggs, and you want to beat them in a smaller bowl. And you want to take those beaten eggs and buttermilk. Personally, I just toss the eggs right in with the buttermilk and just beat it up. And put it into the flour mixture until it's all combined. And then you want to turn it out on a lightly floured board. And you want to knead the mixture until the dough gets nice and dense and is really not sticking to the board at all. And you want to shape it into a 6-inch round loaf. Place it on a baking sheet, and then you want to cut 1/2-inch deep X's into the top of the loaf. Lightly brush the remaining egg. Beat that third egg up, and then brush all of the bread with the remaining egg, and then sprinkle it with that tablespoon of oats. You bake it in the oven 50-55 minutes. Tap it. Make sure the loaf sounds hollow. That's when you'll know it's done. And that needs to be done, believe it or not, on the bottom of the loaf of bread. And then, of course, you're going to transfer it from the baking sheet onto a rack so that it can cool delicious and makes wonderful toast. It is just so easy. And if you really want to be healthy conscious with this, toss in some flaxseed if you want or some other things. You can do so much with this recipe. And if the kids really like raisins instead of cran raisins or whatever you want to do. The cran raisins give a nice color to it. And the egg, of course, when you brush the loaf with the egg, it gives it this beautiful golden crust, and it's just absolutely wonderful. So anyway, that's an easy recipe. St. Patty's Day is coming up. That'd be a nice thing to serve if you wanted to get into the spirit of the Irish soul. Well, I look at the clock. We are out of time. Tomorrow, I'll be able to share with you how you can track your future self. That's right. You can do something in meditation that will allow you to perhaps get an idea of who you are, where you're going, and how you can get there. Well, the time's up. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, You're the magic. You're the wizard with the magic. And the magic wand is your mind, your attitudes, and your actions. Make them shine. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be here same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.